Welcome back, folks. Can everybody hear me? No? Can you hear me? Oh, now you can. There we go. By the way, how many of you have pen and paper? How many of you got pen and paper? Okay, I was supposed to have books here, but there was a mix-up, technical difficulties, and so I wasn't able to get any here. But my publisher says that because of that, we're going to have a conference special. Instead of normally $12.95, you can have them for $9.95. But the only problem is you have to order them off the internet, which is really easy. In fact, most people that buy them off the internet. So it's www.lighthousetrails.com. And I've written two books, A Time of Departing and For Many Shall Come in My Name. And what we're going to look at here is in both books. So you might want to consider getting one or the other, because what I'm about to tell you may affect you or your loved ones personally. Okay, what we're going to look at tonight is energy healing. Now, before the 1970s, energy healing didn't exist in the Western world. Western Europe, U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand. There were probably a tiny number of individuals who did it, but a very, very tiny number. But in the 1970s, it started to increase, and now it's become a major phenomenon in the Western world, especially in North America. So tonight we're going to look at energy healing. This is kind of a short PowerPoint. And after the PowerPoint, we're going to look at a YouTube video done by a man in the United Kingdom, which I think you should see. And then we're going to have my colleague Brad Riddle come up and tell you what happened with his son. So hopefully that'll at least be, you know, most of the hour. So let's get right to it. Remember this morning we talked about the chakras. Okay, anytime you encounter any type of healing modality in the community or anywhere, always ask them if this has anything to do with the chakras. Remember, we were looking at that this morning, these energy centers that are activated by meditation. Now, before the 1970s, this type of healing was not, like I said, was not encountered in modern Western society, but now it is being encountered very, very frequently. And this is from a little booklet. By the way, is John Feeks around here anywhere? I was going to borrow his PowerPoint, because I want to point to some things with it. Well, he's going to. Anyhow, yeah, the chakras. This was a foreign concept in modern culture before the 1970s. And it says, hey, I can read it pretty good from here. Yeah, it's a lot clearer. And remember, we saw the seventh one. The seventh functions like a battery charger, renewing our connection with spirit. Now, energy healing is almost always connected with the therapeutic approach. It's never presented as religion, or hardly ever presented as religion. It's almost always presented within a therapeutic context. And that's what makes it so, what would you call, dangerous? You know, because you're not going to a practitioner because you want to change your religion. You're going because you have some kind of a medical problem or some kind of a physical problem. But what makes the chakra system, there he is. John, you've come through.
I've come through in the crunch.
Yes.
Here you are, dear brother.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. My trusty, whatever you call it. Okay, here we go. Beings. I want everybody to pay attention. You know, this may sound kind of far-fetched, but the reason the chakra system is so scary to Christians is because beings on other planes are eager to communicate with you if you are willing to be receptive to them. You know, receptive to, who are these beings? You know, what's this all about? Okay, there's the chakras. And there's not just one, but there's like a dozen different types of energy healing modalities out there. And like I said, they're all connected with the chakras. And the one that makes us especially incompatible with Christianity is the top two. The sixth one has to do with psychic powers, which Deuteronomy 18 or 19 specifically condemns. Divination, communicating with spirits. And the seventh one is connected with man being divine, which is definitely anti-Christian. Okay, this is the most prominent one. And the reason that I want to emphasize this tonight is that I was told yesterday, there is a Reiki master in Winkler. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Uh-oh, went the wrong way. There we go. There is a Reiki master in Winkler, which means that being a master, she can initiate others into it. You don't learn Reiki. It's not like learning algebra or something like that. You're initiated into it. And it's based on the chakra system. So the power is coming from these beings on other planes. And what Reiki is, it's a Japanese word. It comes from Buddhism. And it means, well, usually they say it means universal life energy. But in Japan, it means ghost energy. And it also means like spirit guide energy. And Reiki is becoming very, very prominent now in North America. Like I said, if there's a Reiki master in Winkler, that means there's Reiki masters in probably every town of any size. In Manitoba. Certainly there's a lot of Reiki activity in Winnipeg. I mean, there's no doubt about that. If you were to Google Reiki in Winnipeg, you would come up with, there's most likely hundreds, if not thousands of Reiki, I don't know about thousands, but there would certainly be over 1,000 Reiki channelers in Winnipeg. Okay? And this is what we're up against here. This is probably the cutting edge of New Age spirituality. During every attunement ceremony, this is from the Reiki News, right there. During every attunement, this is what happens. Say you want to become a Reiki channeler, you go to the Reiki master, and he or she attunes you to the Reiki energy. Like I said, it's not learned like any normal type of activity. You're attuned to it. Okay. During every attunement ceremony, I am always aware of the presence of my Reiki guides. Every attunement ceremony. Oh, man, this is hair trigger. There we go. This is from a Reiki master in Portland, Oregon, where I'm from. And this is where Reiki leads. When we take a Reiki class, receive an attunement, and begin using Reiki, we also become connected to one or more Reiki guides. Our Reiki guides are spiritual beings who are specific to Reiki and only work with Reiki energies. I work with as many as 20 spirit guides during my Reiki treatments. They are my spiritual family. Many Reiki practitioners can feel the presence of their Reiki guides. My spiritual family. So you were talking about earlier about, familiar spirits and, yoga and meditation. Well, Reiki is along those lines. You connect with spirit guides simply by being attuned. And so what makes this so significant is where normal meditation and yoga and things like that, you're only doing it yourself. With Reiki, they start doing it on other people. In other words, you channel this energy into other people. And it can be family members, friends, coworkers, it can be anybody. So Reiki is something that you do to others, whereas yoga and normal meditation is something you just do for yourself. And so with Reiki, it spreads this energy all through a community. A lot of massage therapists are Reiki channelers. A lot of I don't know about chiropractors, some, but they tend to be people that work, nurses. A lot of nurses are Reiki channelers. And they tend to be found in the therapeutic professions. And Reiki, is always presented as being therapeutic. And they say anybody of any religion can be a Reiki channeler, but that's not true, because if you're a Christian, having spirit guides is incompatible with Christianity, right? Okay? This quote here, this is the part that really gets me. They are my spiritual family, these unseen beings. Okay? Reiki once belonged to everyone. the Reiki guides want it to be so again. And this is they even have Reiki magazines. This is the Reiki News magazine. And notice what it says here, teaching Reiki to children. So even kids can be initiated into it and do it on other kids. They even have Reiki teddy bears where they infuse Reiki into it and then give it to kids. Okay, this is quite significant. Like I said, Reiki is primarily, therapeutic. Okay, in a Google search 4 years ago, with the words day spa and Reiki, there were over 138,000 results. Now, practically every town of any size now has a day spa, right? Okay, now, in April 2011, there are 1.4 million results. So it's increased tenfold, in just 4 years. Tenfold, 1.4 million results when you, combine Reiki with day spa. Now what? Oh, here we go. According to William Lee Rand, who's head of the International Center for Reiki Training, there are at least 1 million people in the United States right now who channel Reiki on others. 1 million. Now, see, if there was just a few thousand Reiki channelers, then I'd be what you might call a sensationalist. I'd be making this big hubbub when there's only a handful of them out there. But when you get over 1 million of them, so that means there's probably around 200,000 in Canada who do Reiki. So if each one, this maybe 300,000, because I know it's very popular in British Columbia and very popular in Ontario. And like I said, there's a Reiki master right here in Winkler, right here in this town. And that means that this is somebody who can initiate people into it. So, this is how it works. Okay, this Reiki master in Winkler, she would be doing it on people, and depending on their spiritual state, if they liked it, they would want to be initiated into it so they could do it on others too. So she would start initiating people, usually about 5 or 8 or something like that, and pretty soon there'd be 20 and 30 and 40 and, 50, and the number would just keep going up, and they would be doing it on people in the community. And that's why it's important that you're here tonight, because say you have a friend or neighbor or some family member, a niece, nephew, brother, sister, and they have some kind of ailment, and they go to somebody who's a Reiki channeler and they start having it done on them, you'll be able to tell them that the power behind Reiki are spirit guides. Okay, again, you see it all over. You can look this up on the internet. This is not something that's hidden. This is from the Reiki News. Imagine my surprise during my first Reiki class when I observed the astral images of guides and healing spirits pouring forth bright, shimmering rays of healing energy at the hands of novice practitioners. This is not something like chiropractic or something that's based on physical things. This is purely spiritual, but it's presented as being, like yoga. Remember the science of yoga this morning? This is presented as being, the science of Reiki. So you have to be aware that this is not actual medicine. This is New Age. Okay, this is a book called Hands of Light, A Guide to Healing Through the Human Energy Field. And the thing is, this book has sold 1.2 million copies. 1.2 million copies. And it isn't on Reiki per se, but see, Reiki is just one classification in the broad field of energy healing. This woman here, Barbara Ann Brennan, has a so-called healing school, I think, in Florida, and she trains thousands of people in this type of activity. But this is the same as Reiki because it's based on the chakras. Anything that's based on the chakras is connected to spirit guides. Always remember that. This is the most important part of this talk. Anytime you run into anybody who is, channeling through their hands some kind of energy, and it's connected to the chakras, it is connected to spirit guides, and we're going to see that. This is from the inside the book. Now, I don't know if it came out very well, but see, there's the patient on the table, and there's the woman with her hands doing it on the patient, and these are the guides on either side of them. See them? Those are supposed to represent the guides. And this, the power, this energy that's coming, is not coming from her, it's coming from them. I just want you to look at that for a little bit. Is it? Okay. So this, you know, the old saying, one picture is worth a thousand words. Well, this is what we have here, hands of light. Okay, I think I had that. Yeah, Reiki once belonged to everyone. The Reiki guides want it to be so again. You know, so the Reiki guides want this, you know, this type of energy healing to become pervasive. They want it to be normal. They want it to be common. You know, it's no longer considered weird. It's now considered beneficial. And we're going to see some of the people. A number of celebrities have become either practitioners or proponents of Reiki. Nicole Kidman, she's pretty famous. Angelina Jolie, she's married to Brad Pitt. Sandra Bullock, Ellen DeGeneres, Goldie Hawn, Kate Hudson. You know, quite a number of celebrities have went in for Reiki. Okay, how many of you have ever seen something called River Dance? Okay, remember that? It was about 1996, I think, when it was really popular. Well, this was Michael Flatley, I think his name is, Michael Flatley. Well, he was the star of River Dance, and he says, I swear by Reiki, because I think he injured himself. He said he had some kind of a painful leg injury. There it is. He said, it sounds crazy, but the evidence speaks for itself. I start to feel better as soon as the healer touches my injury. And so, you know, he's promoting it. Okay, there's actress Sandra Bullock, and she wears Reiki-infused jewelry by Los Angeles designer and Reiki master Catherine Michaels. So there's, you can infuse Reiki into inanimate objects, so the power resonates within these inanimate objects. And of course, you know, she won Best Actress here a couple of years ago for playing a Christian in, what was the name of that movie? The Blind Side, is that it? Yeah, she was playing a Christian in that movie, but she's wearing Reiki-infused jewelry. Okay, this kind of sums it up as far as, like I said, the response. If somebody says, well, you know, what's wrong with spirit guides? You know, they're good spirit guides. You know, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And the reason I have that there, there's kind of a interesting anecdotal story that I read in a current issue of Reiki News magazine. Now, traditionally in Western society, in modern decades, the idea of wizards is seen as like being a kid's show or a cartoon, right? There are no real wizards. Like if somebody is to ask you, or your grandchild, or your child to ask you, you know, mommy, daddy, are they real wizards? No, there's no real wizards. Well, in essence, there are real wizards. This story, a wizard is someone who uses the power of spirit guides or demonic spirits. And in the current issue of Reiki News magazine, there's a story about a deputy sheriff in the United States who was initiated into Reiki. And he pulled up to a bar fight. You know, somebody called in, there was a fight in a bar, and he pulls up. And you can hear cussing and fighting, you know, and a big ruckus going on within. And he Reiki'd the bar. He stood outside and went like this, and this energy went into the bar. And he said that when he went in, everybody was suddenly calm and peaceful and just sitting there. So, in essence, the familiar spirits silenced the bar fight. Now, that is real wizardry. I mean, that's what being a wizard is all about, is having the power to make things happen, but it's not coming from you. It's coming from the demonic spirits that have possessed you or influenced you. I just had to get that in. That was too bizarre. You know, when I read that, I said, I got to use that in the talk. Okay, there's other forms of energy healing. Therapeutic touch and healing touch are widely practiced in hospitals. If there's anybody here who's in the nursing field, in fact, I remember reading in McLean's magazine about, this is about 15 years ago, about 93, 94, that there was the therapeutic touch Nurses Association of Ontario. And at that time, there were 2,500 nurses in Ontario that were using therapeutic touch. And again, this was, you know, founded by, what's her name? Dolores Krieger. Dolores Krieger, she's the founder of Therapeutic Touch. And she developed it in 1972. And in her interview I have, she said it had a high occult factor. A high occult factor right there. And the reason it has a high occult factor is because it too is based on the chakras. And this is used in by many nurses in hospitals. Another one is called Quantum Touch, which is, there we go, developed by this guy, Richard Gordon. And it's fastly becoming a very, very, it's starting to rival Reiki as far as the number of people that are using it. Oh, man, that's a lot to read. Anyhow, I'll go real quickly. Richard Gordon was a highly experienced energy healer and founder of Quantum Touch, a global health, see the term there, health? See, it's not a global religious organization. It's a global health institution, health institution. So he had 35 years of experience, and he was considered a visionary and pioneer in the field of energy healing, and he wrote this book called Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, and it's now in 17 languages. And jumping down, he's traveled internationally speaking at medical centers. This is what I wanted to get across. He's not speaking at religious, or he's not speaking at Hindu ashrams or Buddhist temples. He's speaking at medical centers, conferences, and chiropractic colleges. And was on the faculty of Hartwood Institute and the Holistic Health Institute. And he says that the American Holistic Medical Association has endorsed him. It says, the first technique that may truly allow us all to become healers. Quantum Touch currently has certified practitioners over 50 countries and has over 500 certified instructors around the world. And 43 of them are in Canada. Most likely there's one in Winnipeg, or maybe two or three. But Quantum Touch is, again, like Reiki, and according to what you just read, the goal is to get everybody into it, where everybody is connected to this type of healing method. Okay? Well, where did Richard Gordon get it? Okay, we did some research, and you can research this too. Richard Gordon reveals in his book that he learned about the chakras from Lazarus. Now, I know that looks like Lazarus, but Lazarus is a spirit guide. And Lazarus has blendings with people. A lot of New Age information out there talks about people go to Lazarus is channeled by a man named Jack Purcell, and people go to, it's kind of like settings like this, you know, where a lot of people show up at a conference center, and then Lazarus speaks through Jack Purcell, and there's blendings between Lazarus and the people at the conference, and they go away with, you know, under the power of this spirit guide. But this is where Quantum Touch comes from this being named Lazarus. So the thing is, if there's 500 instructors, you know, not 500 practitioners, but 500 instructors, okay, if each one trains 100 people a year, that's something like 50,000 people a year are learning Quantum Touch in 50 countries. And if this, you know, as time goes on, and this has been going on for a long time, since the 90s, that means pretty soon, you know, hundreds of thousands of people are doing Quantum Touch in these 50 countries. And it's like a snowball effect. Then when you add Reiki and therapeutic touch, we're looking at literally millions of people being impacted by spirit guides through the medical field. Another energy healing technique is called Qigong, which comes from Taoism, you know, or Chinese folk religion. And again, it's the same as Reiki. If you ever watch kung fu movies, you know all about Qigong. But I remember one time I saw this documentary on Qigong, and there was this Chinese man. He looked like he was in his 60s or 70s, and he just stood there. You know, he just stood there like this, and there was about five or six young guys in their 20s, and they were trying to push him over, and they couldn't. He was just standing there like this, and they had about, like I said, about six guys in their 20s who were all behind each other, you know, like a caterpillar, and they were all going, and they couldn't push him over because, you know, he was empowered by this force called Qigong. And here we have, I think this is in Orlando, Florida, and you have all these people being trained in Qigong. So it's not just Reiki, therapeutic touch, quantum touch. You know, there's all sorts of energy healing techniques that are being, it's been like an explosion. It's been like an enormous tidal wave that's sweeping the Western world. Like in Europe, Holland is the epicenter for Reiki. You know, hundreds of thousands of people have been initiated into Reiki in Holland, in Germany, in Great Britain. I read that every village in Great Britain has at least two or three Reiki channelers right now. You know, it's just everywhere there. Because Europe, Western Europe, has been de-Christianized. Western Europe has been secularized, and it created a vacuum, and into that vacuum is now flowing this type of thing, you know, yoga, energy healing. And I really believe that the reason yoga got so popular is that it was paving the way for Reiki. That it kind of, you know, those of you who are farmers, you know, the ground needs to be plowed up, you know, to prepare for planting. And yoga kind of plowed the ground for, you know, Reiki, because they're both based on the chakras. Okay, this is where it leads. This is what it's all about. This is the ultimate destiny of those that come under the power of Reiki. I have a book called Attuning to Inner Guidance. It was self-published by a Portland public school teacher, and I'm not going to use her name because she could be still alive, or, you know, she could, it wasn't that popular of a book. It was like just a local book. It was self-published, so I'm not going to use her name, but this shows what happens when you come into contact with Reiki. Okay, it was called Listening Deeply Within. So what happened was this woman, this teacher, she was just a normal person, and she injured her shoulder in a skiing accident. She had what was called a frozen shoulder. So she went to, you know, physical therapists, chiropractors. She just went through the whole gamut of people who supposedly are supposed to cure frozen shoulders. And nothing happened, so she finally went to a Reiki channeler. In her book, she says she went to a Reiki channeler, and this is what unfolded. She said, the following are wisdoms excerpted from my journal of channelings from my... The following are wisdoms excerpted from my journal of channelings from my inner teacher. By going to a Reiki channeler, she wound up with an inner teacher. Okay, and this is what this inner teacher told her. Now pay very close attention here. This is not her speaking, this is her inner teacher. When the coming together time is here, you'll all slip into gear without much resistance to each other. That induction will come as a snap when enough of you are united in spirit. You must be exactly where you are, doing exactly what you are doing. We cannot stress how vital that is to the overall work that is happening in Portland and everywhere right now. Trust. Trust. Now, who are we? Who do you think we are? You know, think about it. Who are we? And what is this coming together time? Well, I believe that this coming together time is when the Antichrist comes to power, that all these people that have spirit guides will unite and follow him. And there'll be, like the spirit guide said, a coming together time. There'll be like it'll come in a snap. When they get enough people under their control, it will just fall into place. The master will guide. Do not have concern. It is all happening. Make inner guidance commonplace and get it out there for the every man. Inner guidance means guidance by them. I changed your name. It's not Kathy, but I put Kathy. I love you, Kathy. Nothing is more important than to be a clear, resonating vessel to channel through the will of the universe. Trust in me, your Lord. And she wrote, for the past 6 years, I have taught graduate-level classes in stress control, communications, team building, conflict management, and intuitional development to educators, parents, and the business community. So all these people that we're looking at here, educators, parents, and the business community have no idea this woman has an inner guide that is telling her to get meditation out there for everybody. And she does this under the cover of stress control, communications, team building, conflict management, and here's it is, intuitional development. That's a common term for developing psychic powers in New Age circles, intuitional development. Okay, now we're going to see a 10-minute video from Great Britain where somebody gives a stunning report on what Reiki is all about. I just hope it works. It's not working there. There we go.
Video, I would address the subject of Reiki. Now, for those of you who may not know what Reiki is, a lot of people have heard of it these days because it's becoming more popular. But for those few of you who haven't heard of it, Reiki is basically a system of laying on of hands for healing. Now, it falls under the broad umbrella term, really, of the New Age movements. If you go to a New Age fair, you'll find people who will be promoting this. Next to tables on paganism and Wicca and witchcraft and shamanism and all that kind of stuff, you'll find someone who is promoting Reiki, or you'll find literature about it. You'll find your local neo-pagans or Wiccan working with you in your place of work, probably has been involved in it in some way or other, had some sort of contact with it, or is certainly aware of it. Now, the first time I came across this practice was between 1995 and 98, when I was living in Nantwich, Cheshire, and I was doing my theological degree. Part-time, I was working in a shop, a fast food shop for you guys out there in America, for us in the UK, a chip shop for you guys in America, not a crisp shop. A chip shop, which is, chips are like your fries, complicated. But the boss of the shop was into this thing called Reiki. So I asked him about it, you know, I didn't know anything about it at all. And he told me he was a Greek Orthodox Christian, and he did go to a Greek Orthodox church at times, usually for special events, weddings, funeral, that kind of thing. But I was quite surprised when he told me about this, because I'd never heard of it. But when I started examining it a bit more closely, I was a bit disturbed, to be honest. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But this video is really for people who are flirting with the idea of Reiki, who are experimenting, wondering about it. Maybe you've just started it. And I just want to make this video to give you guys an informed decision. I'm going to tell you things that you might not know about. And then it's up to you. And I'm not going to be using Christian sources here. Evil Christian propaganda. Ooh, those terrible Christians with their terrible Christian propaganda twisting things all the time. No. I'm going to be using the Reiki's own literature. This manual here is from a Reiki master called Stephen James Culshaw. He's a Reiki master in Chester, and it's the first degree manual. This is what my friend had, and I just photocopied it and started to research it and took notes on it. And I'm going to be using some secular sources as well, or a secular source rather. Okay, so it's basically a system of laying on of hands. That's what most people know it as, but it's more than that. It's really very like spiritualism, because it has contact with spirits called Reiki guides. Now I'm going to show you some stuff in this manual here. And it's on page 11. It says, another experience often encountered is that the recipient can feel your hands are in contact with different areas of the body. And it seems as if there are several people working on the healing. This can be caused by a number of reasons. Now, it gives a few reasons there, but it's this one here that sort of like slipped in amongst the various reasons. Divine beings called Reiki guides sometimes assist in the healing. Okay, so you've got these Reiki guides assisting in the healing, laying their hands on your body alongside the Reiki master. Some people are surprised by this, because there's only one person in the room, yet they can feel other hands on their body. I think it might be useful just to show this page as well here of the process, the laying on of hands there. Some more things. This is on page 12. It says, before starting one of the Reiki sessions, this is when you're actually giving the healing. Before starting, say a silent prayer for guidance and help from the Reiki guide. So it's encouraging you here to pray to these things. And there's no explanation as to what these things actually are even. Then you can end the treatments by silently thanking these guides. So we're talking about guides and spirits here. Can you see how it's like a form of spiritualism? Okay, and then is this process called attunements, which basically sort of changes the vibrational level of you and your aura by rewiring, is the word that's used here, the subtle energy channels in our finer bodies through transmission. Now, it talks about a number of things that you do here, placing the Reiki symbols on the person's body, and the procedure is performed by the Reiki master, but controlled by universal wisdom and attended and guided by astral Reiki guides. So here they are again. And it says at the bottom, this is page 17, once Reiki is activated by an attunement, it is always with you. Even if you reject it, it says, even if you reject it and just dismiss it as foolishness and never have anything to do with it again, it's going to remain with you. And you can come back to it at any time because it's there. It never goes. It doesn't leave you. It's like this thing is stuck with you. You're stuck with it. Once you've got this, you're stuck with it. And presumably the Reiki guides as well. So these are like forces that are beyond the Reiki master's control. So just to recap, Reiki guides are present at this thing called attunements. They are called upon, prayed to, and thanked during a healing. Sometimes they are felt by those who are being healed with all the different hands on a person. And they are beyond the Reiki master's control. Now, a secular source here that I promised you. This is from Woman's Magazine, Chat, issue 36. 6th of September, 1997, page 6. And the article is entitled, I Speak With Forked Tongue. There's a picture of the lady there with her Reiki master. And she claims that she had some beneficial experiences with Reiki, but she said there was an unusual side effect. And I'll just read to you what it says at the end of this article. One afternoon, I sat down, inhaled deeply, and visualized the Reiki symbols. Then I felt heat soar through me. My body started to shake. Then this booming male voice suddenly filled the room. It sounded like a Red Indian chief from an old John Wayne movie. And you know what the scariest thing of all was? It was coming from inside me. I was speaking in a forked tongue. I tried not to, but I couldn't stop myself. Bathed in sweat, I phoned John Shango, he was the Reiki master who she had contact with, and was relieved to hear my own voice. That's wonderful, Jill, he exclaimed. You've been chosen by the Reiki healing spirits. They'll be your companions forever now. Going back to that thing again, really, before in the manual, isn't it? About these things never leaving you, this whole thing just remaining with you, even if you reject it. They'll be with you forever now. Since then, I've had 35 different ones speaking through me. There's Dr. Yushi, the Japanese man who founded Reiki. Little Flower with their lilting voice. Chief Sitting Bull, who always sounds angry, and many more. I can talk to them all whenever I want. I just ask them out loud to answer me, and they always do. I feel like a very exotic telephone exchange. Now, these things are obviously living in this woman. They're using her voice. They got possession of her voice box. They speak through. She didn't really sign up for this, but these are the spirits that are operational through this practice, Reiki. It's a form of spiritualism, at the end of the day, it's not just a healing practice, as a lot of people initially think. There's much more to it than that. So if you're thinking of getting interested in this thing and pursuing it, you need to know that this is going to open you up to spirits, contact with spirits. And if, as long as you know this, you can make an informed decision. But this might not be something that you'll find out up front. I'm telling you in advance, then you can make your own choice.
Quite interesting, huh? Anyhow, my colleague Brad Riddle will now come up and give his own story, how his son was impacted by this.
Hello, I'm Brad Riddle, and I work with Ray. And he wanted me to share with you what my experience was with my son. We'd been impacted by Ray's teaching through his books and personal contact for, you know, a couple of years. And so I bring my kids into this and tell them, you know, that this is something that they want to be careful of and to avoid and to warn people about. And, you know, they can trust the Lord, but there's going to be a lot of people that are going to go the wrong way, and they need to know not to go that way with them. So he was talking to one of his friends who had been going to a physical therapist, and he'd been going through some physical problems since his car wreck. He had a really bad car wreck, and he had to have physical therapy. And what happened was, you know, various points in time, he'd experienced a lot of pain, and so he'd go and get this treatment from a physical therapist. And this one person said, well, you can try my physical therapist. He does a really good job, and you know, so I recommend him. So he thought, okay, no problem. Well, I'd told him a long time, you know, about Reiki and to stay away from this kind of thing. And so he goes to this guy, and he does some procedure on my son. And then my son thought, well, this is kind of unusual. I've never experienced this before. So he asked the guy, he says, what was that procedure that you were using? And he goes, well, that was quantum touch. I'm a Reiki master, and I've just recently been trained in quantum touch. Oh, he says, okay. So he left, and he came back, and he told me about it. And I said, why did you do that? Why did you let him do that? And he says, well, I didn't know. I didn't know that it was wrong, you know. And so I told Ray about it, and we went and looked it up, and quantum touch was channeled by a guy named Jack Purcell. And the guy that channeled him was, the demon was Lazarus. And I understand that Lazarus is quite a demon, that he actually praises Satan. And a lot of demons won't praise Satan. They won't go that far. But this one does. And so there's some question is that possibly Lazarus himself is Satan. But, you know, it was a very upsetting time for all of us. And so I talked to Robbie, and I said, Robbie, you know, you've got to repent of this. And he goes, well, I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't mean to do that. And I says, it doesn't matter. You need to repent of things, even if you make a mistake. We don't all know what we do that's wrong. We need to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness for even things that we don't know that we did wrong. And so he did. And for, you know, several days after that, I says, did you repent? Did you ask the Lord for it? Yeah, I've done it. It's behind me now. It's behind me. And I was always kind of uneasy about that. Did you really, you know? And he assured me that he had. And then I talked to Ray, and Ray says, yeah, he's okay. He's repented. That's what we need to do. We have to repent, trust the Lord, and then move on, because that's the thing about all this new stuff that's coming. We don't know where it's going to lead us. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody knew how how that can affect us individually and people that we know, and it's coming like a lot more commonly.
So what we're looking at is not cults. You know, it's not like there's these cults around. Reiki is not a cult. What we're looking at is society, you know, Western society, becoming one enormous cult where your average person is connected to this. You know, the whole society becomes basically demonically based. Now, on the internet, I've read that there's as many as 30 million Reiki channelers around the world. There's Reiki channelers in every country. It's even popular in Iran, which, you know, which is a Muslim country. It seems to transcend religion. Like I said, the most common places are like Europe, U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand. But in another Reiki book, it says there are untold millions of Reiki channelers around the world. And it, you know, it appears that this is, you know, something people like. It's something they go for. You know, it's something they want to become involved with. You know, Reiki has become popular. And as it becomes more popular, you know, there's like a snowball effect. There's like a, you know, like that woman said, you know, there's a, as more people become attuned to the spiritual world, you know, united in spirit, then this coming together time. Now, this is the conference on Bible prophecy, right? You know, the Bible says that in the last days, people will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, you know what the word seducing means. It means to be deceived. You know, people that are seduced are deceived. You know, they don't know they're being seduced. They don't know what's going on. They think they're getting something, they're getting something else. So this is a literal fulfillment of Bible prophecy. This conference is right on the money. You know, it's right on the mark. This is the end of the age because things like Reiki are proliferating all over, you know, the world, all over. Like it said, in the U.S., over 1 million Reiki channelers in the U.S. And like I said, what makes it so significant is Reiki is something you do on others, you know. And then they become transformed, or they become infused, and then they start, they sign up, you know, they get initiated. And then it's like a ever-expanding circle. And I want people to know that if they encounter anybody in their family or friends that are flirting with Reiki, that they know what the dangers are. So now that you've seen this, you know, you're educated and you're equipped to tell people that this is not purely just physical. It's not something just for health. And if they're skeptical, there's plenty of information on the internet. Of course, I've written about it in both my books, especially Time of Departing. So tomorrow we'll get into the emerging church and contemplative prayer and the Willow Creek and purpose-driven movements and their connection to this. So thank you very much.